Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
U.S.-backed organization, reporter Linda Gradstein.
It was thousands of people, and that it took quite a while before they were able to reestablish control. And it raises questions about how this mechanism is going to work in the next few days.
The Israeli military fired warning shots as the crowds grew. Alexander Tin reports on new changes to COVID vaccine recommendations.
HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says the CDC will now be removing its recommendation for children and pregnant women to be vaccinated for COVID-19.
Authorities in Arkansas are searching for a former police chief and convicted killer who escaped from prison. Benton County Prosecutor Brian Sexton says he has to call victims' families to warn them.
It's still going to sit heavy until the point at which I can pick up a phone and tell them the matter is closed.
Grant Hardin was serving 80 years. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Some people in Sheboygan should watch out for scams. A major data breach in Sheboygan has prompted the city to notify almost 68,000 people that their personal information may have been accessed in a cyber attack last fall. The breach took place back in October, what wasn't found until this month. The information out involves sensitive data like Social Security and driver's license numbers. The city is offering complimentary identity theft protection to those impacted. The rush to build AI data centers in the area is sparking debate over water use. The facilities require a lot of water to keep the servers cool. A report on PBSWisconsin.org says at Microsoft's new Mount Pleasant site, they'll use a closed-loop system to reduce water consumption from Lake Michigan. They plan on using a system made up of a combination of cooling chemicals and recycled water. 3 years ago, Microsoft used about 1.5 billion gallons of water worldwide. That was up nearly 35% from the previous year. An animal population needs to be reduced, and time is running out to get in on the hunt. Brittany Merlot has more.
DNR officials say the elk population reached a record high of 544 last year. And due to the increased population, they're recommending a quota of 4 bulls and 5 antlerless elk, all in the central herd. The 2025 elk hunting season will open on October 18th. Applications can be submitted online, and the drawing for the licenses is random.
People in Milwaukee County trying to find affordable housing will soon have a new tool to help. The county board has approved an online rental marketplace designed to connect renters with affordable and subsidized homes. The new platform, created in partnership with local startup CityWise, will make it easier for low-income residents to search for available units. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's the Brewers and the Red Sox. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The crew and the Red Sox in Milwaukee. Yesterday, the Brewers held on to beat Boston 3-2. Jackson Churio, a leadoff home run. Catcher Eric Haas knocking in an insurance run. Defensively, the Brewers looked better. Pat Murphy.
We're getting better. You know, our outfield defense, Collins made a great play. Ortiz made a diving catch on a line drive, but Collins in the outfield made that nice catch early. You know, Churio's getting more and more comfortable in center. And, you know, when we have Frelick out there, these close wins that we've had lately, that makes for a good outfield.
NFL. Last week we told you the Packers were still in contact with Jaire Alexander, defensive backs coach Derek Ansley.
Every day we have contact every morning. I send him a positive quote. Sometimes it's a scripture.
Today the Athletic reports the team is trying to get Jaire to agree to a restructured deal. His agent says he wants to remain in Green Bay, but has not agreed to a pay cut. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today with high temperatures flirting with 60. Then tonight, a chance of spotty sprinkles turns to scattered shower chances tomorrow afternoon. High temperatures take a little slide to the upper 50s. Then on Thursday, more sunshine and more mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening.
You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll take another look at changes to SNAP benefits. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zummers on the board. It is Tuesday, May 27th, 2025, and it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Live from our World Headquarters studios in downtown Madison on State Street. Sun's starting to peek out. Zummers, looks like it's going to be pretty nice. Temperature maybe near 70 to get day. A little rain in the forecast through parts of the state. Cooler, and then, unfortunately for you, warmer back into the upper 70s by the end of the week.
Yeah, I'll find a way to deal with it.
Zommers is not a hot weather person, but I enjoy it, so I'm excited about it. Many thanks to Kira Sabin for being on in hour number one. We're going to have all those show notes for you in our show page. Go to civicmedia.us to the Todd Albaugh Show. You'll find everything there, or you can check Kira out at thrivewithkira.com, thrivewithkira.com. Really, really great things, I think, Zommers. Again, on the surface, it may sound simplistic, but for a lot of us, there are things we just forget to do. And we're like, oh, wait a minute. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. Oh, wait a minute. And this is not to say there aren't conditions where medications can be helpful, but oftentimes there are things we can do that don't require medication that can help us as well.
Right. If getting a doctor's appointment is something that is either extremely anxiety inducing for you or would cost you a lot of money if your insurance doesn't allow for good mental health care, there are things you can do at home, I think, is the big takeaway from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you didn't hear the previous 2 weeks with Kira, I definitely recommend going and looking it up on civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you from 1 to 3 a good roadmap of checking in with yourself and understanding where you're at and how to get to where you would prefer to be at.
Right. No, absolutely. So really great things there. Coming up in hour number two here, going to talk about Memorial Day weekend, what President Trump was up to, what he said, what he didn't say, and how that relates to what I think is kind of the norm, I'll say, for most veterans, at least those who I have talked with, the military personnel around the state of Wisconsin, take your phone calls on that. Also, ICE is going to ramp up their enforcement efforts here after Memorial Day. Stories from CBS News talk about that and how that could affect the state of Wisconsin as well. But right now, it's 8 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time for What's Worse. Let's go.
This or that, this or that. The choice is yours.
You can get with this. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all 11 stations of the Civic Media Radio Talk Sports Network. No better place to advertise than here at Civic Media. Go to civicmedia.us and you can find out how. Love to have you as an advertising partner like Gordy Kopke down at Kopke's Greenhouse. Always a good time had by all. And we'll see. Gordy had the Kopke's had their big fundraiser for Memorial Day over the weekend. So we'll check and see how that went. By and large, I think some pretty nice weather for them down there. All right. Timely indeed.
as Mike Lucas likes to say. Because Aaron Rodgers, still an active player in the NFL.
Technically,
but does not formally have a team yet. He has been with the Jets after leaving the Packers. Jets basically cut him loose. Lots of rumors he's going to land in Pittsburgh with the Steelers, but still no official word. And, of course, Brett Favre, who has, after having a Hall of Fame career, went to the Jets, the Vikings, and now he's kind of become a Trumpster. He's taking pictures and raising money and has had some other financial dealings that did not go well. We'll say that. So anyway, the category for today on what's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it today. Simply go to your app store, your Apple or Android device. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up a cute CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Summers?
I will say, if you're not watching the stream, the graphic we have for today has an image of Brett Favre and an image of Aaron Rodgers. Mm. The symmetry is very interesting. Both of them at some of their worst moments. Mr. Favre sitting behind a microphone in a court hearing and Aaron Rodgers sitting behind a microphone on a podcast, probably talking about ayahuasca and how the vaccines are fake.
It looks like a very dude image of Aaron Rodgers. Another bro image on this. And again, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from their Hall of Fame careers as football players. Great football players. And look, when Favre was here, he raised a lot of money for charity. Like Rodgers did as well, the annual charity softball game. Now Jordan Love is doing that. So this isn't to take away from many of the things they accomplished on and off the field. But interesting, they both left Green Bay, landed at the Jets, and they've both been controversial. I would say more so Rodgers while he was still with the team than Favre. I mean, Favre overcame Vicodin addiction and went through a lot of stuff while he was here, went through recovery, and as far as I know, has stayed sober. I think that deserves credit.
Yep.
But then when he went to the Jets, there were some, shall we say, salacious picks that he decided to send to a trainer. But that might not be the worst thing. I think what really has disturbed a lot of people is he went back to Kill, Mississippi. His daughter, I believe, went to Mississippi State. And there are, and I have to say, allegations, because nothing's been proven, but some pretty stark allegations with quite a lot of evidence that he used his influence to work with the Republican governor at the time in Mississippi to get, I think, a couple millions of dollars reapportioned from what should have gone to welfare recipients in Mississippi to a new volleyball stadium for his daughter's team at Mississippi State.
Classy.
And then you add in the fact that he's on golf courses with the Trumpster and whatnot. With Rodgers, here's a guy, like you say, who's been, I'll say, I think he's a conflicted person over some things. And he's gotten into these ayahuasca and alternative medicines and said some crazy, wacky things about vaccines, thought about running for vice president with Robert Kennedy Jr. for a while. And it's kind of gone off the ranch on some of these things. And he appears on McAfee's show on ESPN a lot of times. So they're strange dudes, these two, Favre and Rodgers. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the app. Joseph, watching on YouTube, says, who's worse, Favre? His actions actively stole money from poor folks in the poorest state in the United States. Well, there you go. We just talked about that. So the actions. Our own Tony Zimmerman on YouTube says, this is a tough one. I'd say Rodgers, just because maybe Favre has a little more of an excuse growing up in a different era or a different time. Plus, Rodgers encourages RFK. Yes, that's a good take as well. Brett Favre and I are exactly the same age, by the way. One of us has done very, very well, and the other one is just getting along.
I don't know how to feel about that. That's weird. I don't know why that's so weird to me, but it is.
That we're the same age?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're literally like a week apart. His birthday is October. Both born in 69. Yep. What did Tony say? The arrogance of Rogers always gets me, Tony says. Always feels like he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room on every topic. Well, that's true. I'll give Favre. I think Favre's more humble. I think he's more of a good old boy, country boy. Yeah, and I knew people, friends of mine, whose parents, when I think Favre was still playing, went down to Kill, Mississippi. His parents invited him into their home. Didn't know him from Adam, but they're from Wisconsin, Packers fans. And, like, fed him dinner, and there was a big pool table, and played pool, and were, I guess, really, really nice people, his parents. So, and Favre used to deer hunt in northern Wisconsin. We just wander into, like, a bait and tackle shop or whatever, and I guess he was a super, and our friend Trigvi Olsen has been on a podcast with him, and as you have said, kind of overlooked some things because of that. But I don't know, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse or who's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? Lots of texts here, Zomers. Let's get to some of these here. Greg in Genesee Depot on AUK in Waukesha says Brett Favre is worst. Oscar in Madison, WMDX, hands down by far, Brett Favre. He stole from his kids.
Or not his kids, but kids.
From kids, from the university kids or the kids that would have gotten welfare recipients, allegedly. Jill in Madison, WMDX says, got to say they're both bad. But I'll vote for Favre since, as far as we know, Rogers did not divert money from the public assistance programs for the poor to build a volleyball court at his daughter's college. I think that's the one that really gets people. Robert McFarlane, got to be careful here. Brett Favre is a so-and-so, so-and-so piece of so-and-so. Aaron Rodgers is a pompous ass. Well, okay. Very strong feelings from Robert McFarlane.
He follows it up with, Brett Favre is worse.
Oh, he finally, all right. Brett Favre is worse, says Robert. A listener on WMDX says, seems like a typical American election where we're forced to pick the lesser of two evils.
That's a great response.
I like that. I like that. Matt, our great UPS driver in Richland Center, says he idolized Favre and didn't care for Rodgers. After watching the new Untold Brett Favre on Netflix, Favre is a terrible human being. I haven't seen that, Matt. What's I forget the name of that. I heard it's actually pretty good, the documentary on Favre. But I'm the same way. I grew up, I mean, because we live, I don't know how old Matt is, but I grew up in the era where the Packers sucked. That's why I'm a closeted Dallas Cowboys fan, because I cheered for the Cowboys because they were winning when the Packers weren't. And you had, you know, Magic Don Majkowski, the Magic Man, kind of got the Packers back a little bit. But it wasn't until Brett Favre, Ron Wolf brought Favre to Green Bay and Majkowski went down with an injury and Favre came in and led him to victory. And that was it. The Favre era. And then Favre, because of Favre, Reggie White. Nobody thought Reggie White was going to leave Philadelphia and come to Green Bay. And Reggie White comes, and suddenly it makes Green Bay an okay place to be in the NFL, and away they go, and they end up winning the Super Bowl. And so people at a younger age that think, well, the Packers are always in it. No, they weren't always in it. And Brett Favre was a big part of why the Packers, the big Packers comeback. So I totally understand Matt's feelings. I don't not idolize, but I was a huge Favre fan. And during the whole controversy with Favre and Rodgers, who was going to be the starting quarterback when Favre went to the Jets, I was on Favre's side on that. Not going to lie about that. So, Steve in Mount Horeb says, I think both are in the toilet bowl swirling around, but Favre already went through the bottom of the toilet on his way to the sewage plant. Wow. I knew this was going to be spicy. Brian in Milwaukee on what's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. I totally agree that both are bad, but Favre is so much worse. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. This is fascinating to me. I didn't know we'd get this much interaction, but I love it. I love it. We're going to take a break here, come back with Zomers and I, and we'll have Matthew get in on this as well, our new intern here at Civic Media. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? And then we'll turn to the serious side, Memorial Day and the Trumpster. Don't go anywhere. We're back live on a Tuesday. It's the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Georgia law allows unlimited challenges by voters to the eligibility of other citizens registering or voting. Before a hotly contested U.S. Senate runoff election in 2021, an activist group challenged over 364,000 voters. The case is now before an appeals court. Remember the Georgia legislature's notorious SB 202 prohibiting line warming, the giving out of food and water for voters forced to wait in long lines to vote? That is only one of many barriers in the law targeting voters of color. Another allows citizen activists unlimited challenges to the eligibility of other citizens to register and vote, often using inaccurate or hearsay information. At issue are mass challenges to over 364,000 mostly black and Hispanic voters by True the Vote, the Texas group that brought you the discredited 2000 Mules conspiracy theory documentary. Georgia's Fair Fight Action sued, but a federal district court said voters testifying didn't provide enough evidence to rise to a Voting Rights Act violation. In Fair Fight's 11th Circuit appeal on May 13th, two judges in the three-judge panel voiced concern over the legal foundation of the lower court's decision. One judge suggested that the intent of voter suppression was enough to be a violation of the VRA, even if citizens voted successfully. Expect a decision in the coming weeks. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell all the people across the USA, I love my Green Bay. Chicago, Detroit, and Tampa Bay.
Throw in the vibes.
They all come up as laggers. We take our opposition and crunch them like they're crackers. That's why I love my Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yes, indeed. We love our Green Bay Packers here at the All Ball Show in Civic Media. It is now 23 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Great tune there. Who sings that one, Zomers?
Eddie J. Lemberger.
Oh, nice.
That's from the album Eddie J's Greatest Packer Hits Plus.
We love our Packers, and many of our stations here at Civic Media are Packers affiliates. And, of course, our great Packer reporter, Mike Clemens, always brings you the inside detail. And this bit here is not to hate on our Packers at all, or really even to hate that much on Favre or Rodgers. It's just
Maybe a little.
It's the kind of question that's discussed in bars all across Wisconsin all the time. And I just find it fascinating to bring it up here, and I love all these responses. We're in the middle of what's worse. Today's category, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. What's worse? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Steve in Milwaukee on the text line on WAUK says they're both arrogant, but Favre stumped for Trump and stole money from children who needed it. All right. Well, there you go. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Troy in Mount Horeb. Troy, thanks for calling in. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers?
because he allegedly broke the law and because he went to Minnesota, I have to say Favre, although it's pretty neck and neck.
Is there a particular reason why?
Why it's pretty neck and neck?
Well, no. What's your reason for choosing Favre over, or which?
Well, like I said, because he allegedly broke the line, because, you know, which is worse than anything Rodgers has done, and because he went to Minnesota and Rodgers hasn't done that. You know, that's kind of traitorous. But did you see over the weekend Danica Patrick came out and called Rodgers emotionally abusive?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, she's...
Wow.
She's out. She's been quoted in a lot of different... she was on the Sage Steele show when she said that.
Well, Rodgers has been in, we'll just say, many relationships with women, and none of them seem to take.
I can see him
take.
Being controlling.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I can see him being controlling.
Yeah. So. Very interesting, and I appreciate that insight, Troy. Thank you so much, our friend Troy in Mount Horeb, 855-752-4842. What's worse, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers? Carrie in Tosa on WMDX says, have always detested Favre, ego, maniac, and serious philanderer. Disgusting human. Wow, these are some really hot takes.
I mean, I can't say I disagree with Carrie in Tosa. Like, all the stuff about Favre, yes, he overcame an addiction, and that's something to be celebrated. He also, you know, sending unsolicited,
pictures
to people in his staff, that's messed up. And allegedly diverting money from welfare programs to build a volleyball stadium for your kid. Mm. I mean, Aaron Rodgers says some equally heinous things, but is way easier to ignore. That's where I'm at. So I think Favre is worse.
So as Amr says Favre is worse, our new intern, Matthew, Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, what's worse?
I think Favre is like my worst too, just because with Favre, it's the alleged stealing of money. And like Aaron Rodgers is just such a dude bro. Like he gives such a dude bro energy.
Right.
My earliest memories of both of them is that Favre was on the shaving commercials and Rodgers, everybody loved him when he had short hair.
That's really well said. Another text on AUK, Favre was great until he became a Viking. Couldn't forgive him for that. Aaron Rodgers' COVID-19 controversy was bad. But the welfare scandal for Favre is really bad. So I'll vote for Favre. Being worse, still really enjoyed watching both play football. Well, me too. I mean, I think that, I guess I'll answer the question myself, Favre or Rodgers. I'm going to say Favre, and probably for similar reasons as you guys, to whoever it was, the caller or texter that said they idolized Favre. I wouldn't say I idolized him, but he was such a predominant, he was like the hero. And not to cross-pollinate metaphors or genres, but he's kind of the Anakin Skywalker. He was the hope. He was the one that's supposed to restore sanity. He's the one that got us back to a Super Bowl win. He's the guy who overcame addiction. His wife still stayed with him, even though he was a schmuck to her in many ways. He was the person who was going to go on and be the next Bart Starr. And instead, kind of in his retirement, he kind of either A, showed who he really was all along, or B, he just really fell from grace. And I think that's the biggest disappointment for me, is when you think you kind of have a sense of someone and you think they're just a normal dude and, you know, can have a beer with you at the bar, which I think Favre probably still can. But the fact that Favre had so many opportunities to use his position for good, and I think to some degree he did, but at the end of the day, he just kind of goes over to the dark side where, to me, Aaron Rodgers is a conflicted person who has a lot of personal things going on in his life. And I think exactly what Kira Saban was saying in the last hour, I think Rodgers hasn't found healthy ways to cope. That's just my take on this.
I would agree. And that his coping, like when you have unhealthy coping mechanisms and you're just sitting at home, you're mostly just hurting you. When you have unhealthy coping mechanisms and you're going on Joe Rogan show, you're hurting a lot of people, potentially.
Yeah, I agree. Also, Cam at Appleton is really ticked off that he didn't know he had an intern program. He wants to be like Matthew and be a summer intern. Well, Cam, there's always next year. Just like the Cubs fans. All right, come on back. We're going to have a news, weather, sports update, and then get into a little bit of Memorial Day news. Back after this is the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Welcome in on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Wall Street is rallying, but our commodity prices are more focused on the weather. We'll hear how the forecast moved prices today in just a moment.
Pancakes, potatoes, sausage, eggs, oh my. Come hungry to the Marquette County June Dairy Breakfast on Sunday, June 8th at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield. In addition to breakfast, enjoy live music, farm tours, a petting zoo, and kid games. You can also try your luck at bingo. Breakfast and activities start at 7 a.m. at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield on June 8th. For full event details, see our event on Facebook.
John Heinberg joins us. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He says good crop development is on the way. At least that's what the forecast is saying now.
But you start looking at the forecast this time of year, and what do we got? More about those 8 to 14 day type models and looking at those longer range models, and you're looking at a fairly good forecast for crop development here this spring so far. You know, next couple of weeks, we're looking at temperature staying on the warm side, but no major deficiencies, at least of rainfall, according to those longer range models. Western Corn Belt is going to stay slightly above average in rainfall. Most of the Corn Belt is going to be average. So when you start staying warm and you get a little bit of wetness to it, that's pretty good weather for crops to grow.
So while crop condition is projected to look good based on the weather forecast, it has an opposite effect on crop prices. Grain markets saw overall downward pressure on the close today, but dairy is seeing a rally. We'll take a look after the break. John Heinberg along with us. He's a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend.
Pancakes, potatoes, sausage, eggs, oh my. Come hungry to the Marquette County June Dairy Breakfast on Sunday, June 8th at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield. In addition to breakfast, enjoy live music, farm tours, a petting zoo, and kid games. You can also try your luck at bingo. Breakfast and activities start at 7 a.m. at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield on June 8th. For full event details, see our event on Facebook.
Tuesday from Chicago, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 716 points. Class 3 milk contracts are also seeing a rally. The June contract is up 30 cents at 1964 a hundredweight. The July contract up 51 cents at $20.16 a hundredweight. Soybeans saw a little lift on the close. Cash beans up 2.25 cents. November new crop beans up 0.25 cents at 10.50¾. Cash corn is sitting neutral, while December new crop corn closed down 4.25 cents at 4.46½. And July new crop wheat closed 14 cents lower at 5.28½. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sunshine today, with high temperatures flirting with 60. Then tonight, a chance of spotty sprinkles turns to scattered shower chances tomorrow afternoon. High temperatures take a little slide to the upper 50s. Then on Thursday, more sunshine and more mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Perivonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Lavoie Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday, May 27th, day after Memorial Day. Zomer is on the board. Our new intern, Matthew, here as well. Glad to have him along here for the summer. And all of you as well. Hopefully you had a safe Memorial Day weekend and that you enjoyed the time with family and friends. Look, I got no problem with all that. That's if you talk to military people, they'll tell you we hope people do celebrate Memorial Day in a manner of speaking with family and friends. But it's just not kosher to really wish people a happy Memorial Day. Look, I'm not the word police. I get people's intention is good. But and I also realize that I'm fortunate that I've had the opportunity to be around military folks, talk with them, and understand in first person what Memorial Day means to them. I've been to Arlington National Cemetery on several occasions. I've been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I've been to ceremonies here in Wisconsin honoring lost military personnel, those who died in service. And if you weren't with us at the top of the show, for those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like, it's a little wrinkled. But hey, it still fits after almost 30 years. It's a polo shirt, and it's from West Point. It has the West Point insignia and the words West Point on lapel here. And I wore it today in honor of those who died. But also, and again, I get it. I have had a unique opportunity. I've been privileged in this. As with a lot of things, I had opportunities that others didn't to go to West Point, to be on that campus, to talk with cadets, to talk with instructors. Never been to a graduation there, but I've been to West Point. And the men and women who are at West Point, instructors, but in my opinion, particularly the cadets, these are the cream of the crop. These people have gotten close to, if not straight A's, 4.0 in high school. They're usually in some sort of athletic event. They're usually people who have given to their communities. Maybe they've been Eagle Scouts or something like that as well. Maybe they've been involved in their church. They're identified by their members of Congress and the Board of Admissions at West Point as being some of the most capable leaders in our country. And yes, of course, they go through what we consider basic training or for military, and they're military. But people don't understand, I don't think, unless you've been there, the extraordinary academic level that these cadets learn and go through at West Point. The grades they have to get maintained to stay there. And then the classes about military history and training, because when they come out of West Point, they're lieutenants, they're officers. And they are assigned commands of fellow Army soldiers. And so you literally are taking care of other people's lives when you come out of West Point. It's a huge responsibility. And so Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, was at West Point over the weekend giving the commencement speech. And I want to play a couple of cuts, not interrupting them, letting them play out, because I want you to hear it. First one we're going to do is Donald Trump talking about basically the mission of the United States military. Here's Trump at West Point over the weekend.
The job of the U.S. Armed Forces is not to host drag shows, to transform foreign cultures, but to spread democracy to everybody around the world at the point of a gun. The military's job is to dominate any foe and annihilate any threat to America anywhere, anytime, and any place.
Do you hear that very light applause, by the way? Most of the applause you heard were from the commanders sitting on the stage right around Trump to kind of boost the crowd a little bit. To spread his words, Trump's words, to spread democracy at the point of a gun. Again, I've never served. Had the privilege and honor of helping and working with several who have. I'm pretty confident in saying that if you'd ask any current military person on active duty or veteran, what is the mission of the United States military? They would not say spread democracy at the point of a gun. It's not what they're taught. It's protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, enemies foreign and domestic, to protect our borders, to keep us safe and secure, and when called upon by the President of the United States and Congress to carry out military missions. It is not to go around conquering other countries, spreading America's form of democracy at the point of a gun. It ain't for that. And quite frankly, in my opinion, it is a disgrace that the sitting commander-in-chief would say that. And by the way, Trump was wearing his red MAGA hat, Make America Great Again hat, with a suit. The only people that wear hats at West Point events are those who wear the uniform as a part of the uniform. Trump never served. Had his rich dad make up excuses to avoid serving in Vietnam. And certainly no other commander-in-chief, including those who have served, like George W. Bush, never wore a hat or a uniform when he was speaking to the cadets at West Point. Trump ducked out early, by the way. It's from George H.W. to W. to Bill Clinton to Barack Obama to Joe Biden. When you're called upon for that service as President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, you give the speech and then you shake the hands of every graduating cadet as they go across the stage. Trump told them this weekend, can't stay. I have to deal with China and Russia. And hours later, the press captured him in a golf cart speeding across one of his golf courses. I want to play one more cut of Trump here. This is talking here at West Point, Trump at graduation this weekend.
And he had nothing to do. He ended up getting a divorce, found a new wife. Could you say a trophy wife? I guess we can say a trophy wife. It didn't work out too well, but it doesn't. And that doesn't work out too well, I must tell you. A lot of trophy wives doesn't work out. But it made him happy for a little while, at least. But he found a new wife. He sold his little boat and he got a big yacht. He had one of the biggest yachts anywhere in the world.
If you notice, nobody was laughing. If he was trying to be funny, I'm not sure. This is the graduation for America's finest. Some of our finest. There are other military academies as well. People who have committed to put their lives on the line for the rest of us. To die if they have to. And Donald Trump goes there and makes jokes about trophy wives. Enamored with some rich friend. I simply ask people who have worn the uniform, or whose parents have died in service, whose sons and daughters have died in service, does that line up with how you feel about those who died and gave their lives? Are those the remarks that were said at their funeral? I passed a lot of cemeteries this weekend as I traveled around Wisconsin. Every single American flag represents someone who has served. And in most cases, has died. It certainly doesn't line up with the feelings of the former Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Milley, who served under Trump and then left under Biden when he knew that Trump was coming back. Trump already said he hated him, was going after him. Here's what General Milley, a decorated four-star general, said about the mission of the United States military.
We don't take an oath to a country. We don't take an oath to a tribe. We don't take an oath to a religion. We don't take an oath to a king or a queen or a tyrant or a dictator. We don't take an oath to a wannabe dictator. We don't take an oath to an individual. We take an oath to the Constitution, and we take an oath to the idea that it's America, and we're willing to die to protect it.
That's what an actual leader says. Those are the words of someone who has seen action, who has seen people die in military service, who've known people who have died in military service. Those are the words of someone who dedicated his life to the Constitution and this country. And that was a speech from his retirement about a year ago when he left office as Joint Chief of Staff. His replacement, by the way, at Joint Chiefs of Staff, the way this happens is that they try to take as much of the politics out of it for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So every service, Army, Navy, Marine, so on and so forth, they have a head, and then there's a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is usually one of those people and you come up through the ranks. When Milley stepped down, and now I'm going to forget, as Brown, I believe, was his last name, Zomers, you can look it up, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I want to call him out, happened to be an African-American. A decorated hero.
Yes, General Charles Brown Jr.
Thank you. Charles Brown Jr. I believe Air Force, if I'm not mistaken. And had worked his way up, was in line to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I believe only the second black chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff after Colin Powell, who was appointed, by the way, by Ronald Reagan, a Republican. And as soon as Trump got in, he fired this guy and put in a white dude who was lower in rank, who had seen less military service. And now this weekend, when you watch the National Memorial Day celebration, you had all the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Guess what? All white men. Because Trump also got rid of the one woman on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I talked to a veteran this weekend, and he talked about being in the field. And he said, when you're in the field, the two things you're evaluating the people you're in the field with are trust and performance. Can you trust the person you're with, and how do they perform in combat? And he said, if someone is really high performance but low in trust, ain't somebody you're comfortable. They would rather go into battle in the field with someone who is high trust but maybe doesn't always perform as well, because you know they always have your back. You know, you could trust that individual. And I would simply ask all military personnel and veterans in the state of Wisconsin, talk to your family about this. I can bring it up, but this is why I want to bring it up, have the conversation. But I didn't serve. I get that. But if you served, if you're in the military, you don't have to have a radio show. Next time you get together, say, yeah, you know, well, here's my thoughts as someone who put my butt on the line for this country. Memorial Day is about remembering those who died for us so that we could have the barbecues, so we can go to the baseball game, go to the water park. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's appropriate that we take one day every year to memorialize and to remember and never forget those who died so we can enjoy those things. Unfortunately, when it came to that yesterday, the President of the United States took a pass. Come back, talk about another graduation speech. This one, much more to the point. CBS's Scott Pelley, what he said to Wake Forest. Not going to want to miss it. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listen for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation from 540 WAUK. Hey, it's Downtown Donnie Brown. And this week in Waukesha, we are acting locally, thinking globally with Ron Gulotta of UWM Waukesha as they talk about Corby's Last Roar, a celebration of UWM Waukesha's 58 years of service to our community before they close in June of this year.
To hear the show, go to waukradio.com and search for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast from WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a hit. Milwaukee Brewers baseball cards are being shared in several communities across the state. The partnership is with police officers in Green Bay, La Crosse, Kenosha, Milwaukee, and Madison, and meant to be an icebreaker between the cops and kids. Here's Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger.
Eventually want to do it to more than just the major cities. We're trying to get around the state as best we can and to sort of engage with our friends around the state. We're a statewide team. We're not just a Milwaukee team.
So see an officer, ask for your own comic book style baseball cards featuring all your favorite Brewers players. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 before the hour of 4 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across the network you're listening to. And then a weather update with Brittany Merlot and a great weather team. And our own Mike Clemens, great sports reporter, always is on top of it. It appears now, according, I believe I'm not mistaken, I believe I saw this on Clemens' tweet, that the Packers have interest in keeping Jaire Alexander, which would be huge. So they're trying to come to an agreement when and if it happens. Mike Clemens will be the first to break it. I have no doubt about that. So keep it here on Civic Media for Mike Clemens' great sports report. And then following that, Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 4 until 6. Maggie will be looking back at some of the big headlines of the weekend as well. And Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. Always a great way to wind down, have a beverage of your choice, and just chill. I should have asked Kira about this when she was here. I would say a healthy way to cope with the chaos of the day is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I would absolutely agree. I think it's funny. It's informative on what's going on in the world of entertainment. You learn a lot, and you definitely laugh.
And you feel better. So there you go.
You do.
Pete Schwabba tonight from 6 until 8. If you want to weigh in on a couple of these issues, Trump's remarks over the weekend. By the way, I didn't even get to this. He went to Arlington National Cemetery, laid a wreath with Vice President J.D. Vance, and then went mere steps to the Colosseum and gave a Memorial Day speech in which he attacked Joe Biden and Democrats. Watched a lot of Memorial Day speeches at that Colosseum by both Republican and Democratic presidents. Never heard one partisanize it until yesterday. Scott Pelley, one of the great reporters at 60 Minutes, CBS News, former evening news anchor, gave his own graduation speech at Wake Forest University this weekend. Of course, 60 Minutes head, Bill Owens, executive producer, resigned a couple weeks ago over protest. And Wendy McMahon, CBS president of news, also resigned last week after the last edition of 60 Minutes for this season, saying that they could no longer run the program like they had before because Sherry Redstone, the owner of CBS, which actually is Paramount Global, which owns CBS, she's trying to sell it, trying to do a merger between that, I think, Sky Dance or Sky something or other. And it's subject to FCC approval, of which Trump's appointees control. So they're trying not to tick Trump off. By the way, everything we just covered, I talked about it this morning with Jane McNair as well, on what Trump said over Memorial Day weekend. None of that made CBS Morning News in the 2 hours they were on the air. Just a little bit of a coincidence. Scott Pelley, not holding back. Here's what he said. And he never mentions Trump, by the way. Here's what he's doing to speak out at the Wake Forest graduation this weekend.
But in this moment, this morning, our sacred rule of law is under attack. Journalism is under attack. Universities are under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. And insidious fear is reaching through our schools, our businesses, our homes, and into our private thoughts. The fear to speak in America. Power can rewrite history with grotesque, false narratives. They can make criminals heroes and heroes criminals. Power can change the definition of the words we use to describe reality. Diversity is now described as illegal. Equity is to be shunned. Inclusion is a dirty word. This is an old playbook, my friends. There's nothing new in this.
Scott Pelley of CBS News, or the anchors of 60 Minutes. Never heard Pelley outside of the studio like that before. Thought it was incredible. The most chilling line I thought from that clip was Pelley saying, it's insidious fear creeping in into our minds to speak out. Right? Think about it. People are taking international vacations, go, well, I'm not sure if I want to leave the country because, you know, like on Facebook, I called Trump out. Maybe they're not gonna let me back in. People in journalism afraid to speak out because they might come after me. We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of is my owner, our owner, that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And it's a privilege and an opportunity every day to come before this microphone and have a discussion with each of you. And we will continue to speak the truth. We'll continue to pursue it. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well. Don't be afraid to speak out. America is a great country. It's an exceptional country. Be a great American today and do your part to speak out and speak the truth. Many thanks to our guest, Kira Sabin, to Mr. Zomers on the board, Matthew, our new intern. We appreciate it. And all of you for listening. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Maggie Dawn is next. See you tomorrow.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration is moving to cancel all contracts with Harvard, and it's more closely scrutinizing foreign student applicants. Reporter Linda Kenyon.
The administration looks to expand screening and social media vetting for all foreign students seeking visas to study in the U.S.
Boston Mayor Michelle Wu says the community is standing with Harvard.
Our federal government is targeting one or just a small number of colleges, universities, because they refuse to bend the knee.
The administration's no longer recommending COVID vaccines for healthy children and pregnant women. FDA Commissioner Marty McCary.
There's no evidence healthy kids need it today, and most countries have stopped recommending it for children.
The Texas Senate has given preliminary approval to a bill preventing gun buyback programs. The French government's considering banning adults-only hotels and restaurants, saying the no-kids trend divides people. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.